Oh, did we start?
Okay. Yeah, we did. Welcome to this really cold open.
It just cuts to me going, did we start?
I could. I mean,
You know what? Probably be pretty good.
It wasn't a real start anyways.
Welcome to the Liquid Nerds Podcast. I'm Sheldon. That's Taylor. That's Tim.
Hello!
Hi.
Listen, we gotta shake it off, boys.
Whiskey shot. Gotcha. Oh, good.
You're a wild man. Welcome. We are back for another episode of Liquid Courage. And we are happy to be here.
You don't sound happy.
My brain stopped working the minute I started talking. Like, I started talking. It was one of those things where I started talking and I had a thought, and then a light in my room, I've got these LED lights, just fell. And I looked at it as it fell, and my brain was like, that's terrifying, because it just was out of the corner of my eye. And that's where I've started this podcast.
My shit-tier story is starting to affect our environments. I love it.
Taylor literally is starting this podcast afraid and worried for his life.
It was just one of those things, like, you know when you see light just kind of fucking flicker, and you're like, what's that? Your brain just immediately wants to attune to it.
Yeah.
Mine tells me run.
That's where I was. It was I was looking at the screen, making sure that things were set up, and I just caught my light like swap into my peripheral vision. I went, what the fuck?
Now they swap and swap. Like,
both.
It's just like, Taylor, are you okay? Welcome.
I am now. we're back. Season 3.
Whoa! Is this episode 2?
Nowhere. Terror at Camp Nowhere.
Three. I'm so sorry. Episode 2 of Season 3. We're in, like, Flynn, and how do you guys feel about camping?
I hate camping.
You hate camping?
Depending on what's going on when we're camping, it's alright.
It's just a standard camp.
Yeah.
You know, going outside.
Being in the elements.
I got some stories about camping, but that's not here.
I never camped without a camper, though. Well, no, that's not true.
Oh.
Never mind.
It's not great sleeping on the ground.
I've never camped, so.
Really?
You've never camped.
I've never camped.
You're not a camper.
You strike me as a camper. I know.
You dirty camper.
Yeah, no, I've never camped. I've slept in a tent in the backyard before when I was like 13.
I mean, that's close enough,
yeah,
right?
That's good enough, yeah.
I don't think so. I once asked my dad, why don't we camp? And he looked me dead in the eye, and he went, because I've camped. Didn't like it.
And your dad is kind of right. Like, there's not a lot of situations where you go camping. You're like, that was great.
My dad looked at me and went, I was in the Army? That's why. And I was like, got it.
Never mind.
I never want to go back to that situation.
I understand. And so, I've never camped. I've thought about it. I think I have a tentative camping thing planned with a friend of mine, but we never make an action. We never set a date, so right. I don't think we're actually.
And it's a date
anything.
That you kind of just.
If you go camping, try to get a cabin. That's the way to fucking camp, even though people won't. Is that camping?
That's glamping, Tim.
I don't give a fuck. It's a place that where you won't get attacked by animals.
Technically, I don't even count the camper as camping. Like camping, you need a tent you need to pitch a tent, you need to start a campfire, and there you go.
I was like, I guess I've stayed in a cabin before, but that was in the mountains on a campsite with many other cabins.
What
so,
kind of site?
A campsite.
Yeah, I think you've been camping before.
But it was in town. Like it was in a mountain town, you see.
But were you, like, isolated by yourself, a forest
all around you? But that's the entire town.
It's like a town in a forest.
It's a town in the mountains, and we rented a cabin at a campground.
That's
and it had running water.
Running. Well, they didn't have to dig a hole in the ground.
I had a toilet. Yeah, it was great.
I mean,
if that's camping, I'm in.
That's modern camping. Most campsites, like in Kansas, the places I've been, are like that. Like, but I have also camped where it's just a tent.
Wait a minute. Have you only camped in Kansas?
Yeah, because I only have lived in
Kansas. What animal are you worried about attacking you at a campground in Kansas?
Rattlesnake.
I haven't been camping in like 10 years. Fuck off. Like, I don't know.
Jim's really worried about the stray coyote that wanders into camp.
I mean fuck, enough coyotes happens.
Can kill a man.
Yeah, but it's not even that. It's just like modern
enough
camping.
Enough meth heads can kill a man.
If you go to like a lake and you camp at a lake, you can camp with tents. You can get a cabin if you really want to. And then there's actual areas that are like, this is a shower area where they have showers, and this is a restroom where they have restroom.
But, Tim, mine was in my cabin.
That's fine. It's still camping. It's cabin.
This is my shitting hole.
It might be glamping, but fuck it. It's still camping.
Tim, I essentially rented a house in the mountains, and it was just a tiny one made of wood.
And that sounds like an awesome fucking time. I don't know what to tell you.
Listen. No, Tim, we're not saying it's not an awesome time. It's just whether it's considered camping or not.
I'm just arguing that I haven't been camping.
I mean, like, what is your definition?
And you're fighting, really hard for Taylor's sake, to be fair.
I like that you're going like, fuck you, you've been camping.
That's camping. That is legitimately camping. Stop dogging yourself out of experiences in life. God damn it. You've lived.
I like the idea that it's just like, this is just Tim, but it's like, wait, have I never been camping either? Taylor's been camping.
No, I'm not wrong. Camping. The children are wrong.
Holy fuck. I've never been ice skating, and Tim would be like, you ever stepped on a fucking puddle that's been frozen? You've been ice skating, fuck you.
You've been rollerblading, you've been on warm ice skating.
I mean, in a weird way, in that fucking example,
you still fall on your ass, too. It's horrible.
He's a lot more correct than I want to admit.
I'm trying to think of more examples.
I never could roller skate. Fuck.
You ever fallen outside when it's cold? You've been ice skating. Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets. You've been sledding. That's sledding.
You ever held a dead animal?
You've been hunting. You ever hit a skunk of your car? You've got hunting before.
Get out. Pick it up. Take a picture. You did it.
What caliber was it? I don't know. Truck tire?
V8.
1994 Chevy Blazer.
Yeah, oh wow. Popular one around here.
Oh fuck, what a round.
The reason we bring this up is because our first episode today is about camping.
I forgot. Yeah. I literally forgot we were talking about courage.
We're doing a podcast, so fuck. Oh shit.
Cool,
so we watched our second episode of season 3, and part 1 is Campsite of Terror, and I would argue Campsite of Mild Spookiness.
Yeah, it's not
even
bad.
That. It's just, you know, fucking Campsite of Minor Pests.
Campsite of Vermin.
And you guys were wondering what I was afraid of. What animals were I afraid of?
Knife-wielding raccoons.
If you're afraid of raccoons, man,
that's understandable. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Real raccoons.
Yeah. Also, real raccoons will fuck you up. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah, and that's and rabies isn't fun. I'm not gonna say every raccoon is rabies.
That's what you said. You've never had rabies. How do you know?
That's right. And neither have you. Yeah, score
you're right.
One, atheist.
Yeah, you ever been? You ever had a mild fever? You've had rabies.
That's true.
You ever not wanted to drink water for like 3 days? You had rabies.
Ah. Fuck! I've already had rabies then.
Beer doesn't count.
No, man, it's okay. I haven't drank water in years.
This is fish fucking.
Yeah, that was fucking. Anyways,
this is a really simple episode that I don't think is gonna take long. So
no, we've pretty much done it.
Courage and Muriel and Eustace went camping at the campsite of nowhere.
And they brought their dog.
Yeah, and they, well, I think a lot of people bring dogs camping.
Yeah.
It wasn't a derogatory term. I'm sorry if it sounded like one.
No, that's fine. And so they go camping, and Courage is trying to pitch a tent. And
really hard with his paws.
Eustace is watching TV with his generator. And Muriel's making an absurdly large fish in a thing. And then she serves some tea. And then the tent gets pitched. And then Muriel and Courage go in the tent and tell scary stories. And that's where the action picks up, is after the scary stories.
You're really, really running through this. That was the first four minutes of the episode.
So tell me something else that happened in there.
Eustace is watching the TV and saw the commercial with yes, you covered he was watching the TV.
He's watching TV. Is it LeDuc? I never remember.
No, it's D-Long. D-Long. Listen, we wanted to forget about that.
Okay. D-Long is on TV for some reason. He's basically doing like shitty infomercials about
just how
I came
rich
to this
about,
country.
About getting rich. You've seen that episode of King of the Hill? Where Khan sees the episode or the infomercial about owning property and getting rich, and then he buys a bunch of car washes and then makes the people not be able to have their car shows at the car wash, and then everybody hates him and he doesn't make any money, and then Hank has to help Khan not be a shitty car wash owner, and then everything is resolved by the end of it. It's those infomercials.
That, but without the plot.
Yeah.
And don't worry, Courage also gets a chocolate muffin as well.
Oh my god, really?
If you're gonna go that fast through it, I'm gonna blow
down
those things.
I only missed DeLong! We could have covered him! We did it!
Yeah, we did it. No, you're fine.
And, but the tent is the thing. Like, the haunted tent is the thing, because Muriel's telling scary stories. And that's what you gotta do when you go camping, I heard, is that you tell scary stories at a campfire with your friends, and then everybody gets spooked.
Which, when it comes to Courage, it's pretty easy to fucking do.
Oh my god, they missed the golden opportunity to have a crossover with the Midnight Society from fucking...
Are you afraid of the dark?
Alone in the Dark?
Are you afraid of the Dark?
Are you afraid of the Dark? Sorry, Alone in the Dark, that'd be completely different. Oh god!
Alone in the Dark is a shitty fucking horror movie about tooth fairies.
Also,
yeah.
Shitty video game.
About tooth fairies.
Are you afraid of the dark? Okay, here's a tangent, because this episode is going to take very fast to go over.
Right.
Much to Tim's chagrin.
Gotta make an hour, baby.
Yeah, we gotta make an hour for that not mattress money we're making. Speaking of which, hey,
what
Helix.
What kind of mattress?
Hey, Helix, I'm just telling you, bud.
This podcast brought to you by
free advertising.
So one of the things in the future that's going to be fun is someone going back through and listening to our progression of how we went from purple mattress to Helix. Mm-hmm. And what's next? What's in the future? I can't wait to hear.
Serta.
Oh, we will never be that rich.
No, Casper, obviously. Holy shit, why doesn't Casper sponsor us? It's the name of a ghost.
My pillow. No.
Oh my god.
My magic pillow.
Casper.
ShamWow.
Listen, Casper ShamWow, mattresses. I know that you're not listening, but those of you listening right now, if you want us to have Casper mattresses, rate us 10 or 5 stars on Apple, whatever.
Give me $10.
But I want you to think about it, dear listener. How much fun I can have with a Casper mattress spot with a show about a cartoon dog who's afraid of things.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Think about the crossover potential.
Then
Courage leans in to look into the car's side passenger side, and he finds Casper's mattress.
He finds the ghost of Richie Rich.
They don't even need to sponsor, like, use us as
the glory
bait to get to Warner Media to actually sponsor Courage, right? Their podcast brought in 10,000 views to our website. So we're thinking we're going to sponsor
their podcast brought in 5 views to our website.
Clicking the website 10,000 times.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we do this for fun, but also mattresses. Here's my tangent.
All right.
I started with a tangent. Here's my tangent. were you more Goosebumps kids when it comes to TV shows, or are you Afraid of the Dark kids?
Bitch, I watched both of them.
I think Goosebumps, but I didn't really watch either because Adult Swim was also coming on late at night, so I didn't watch either.
God. I watched them both, but I'd probably say I'm more of a Alone in the Dark. Or fucking cry, you motherfucker. You fucked me.
It's
Afraid of the Dark.
Goosebumps, for me, I read more of the Goosebumps books than did anything else. Well,
because Are You Afraid of the Dark didn't have books. Are You Afraid of the Dark, I think, was a Canadian production,
yes.
technically.
Yep.
Yes.
But
all those children are dead.
That they're not.
Now probably
the ghost.
I saw a lovely documentary. They're like 40. So inside.
they're dead on the inside. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I was terrified of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Like, to a point that I can still hear the Are You Afraid of the Dark theme hit my ears, and my body does a like response.
No.
Oh yeah.
I don't. It's weird. I watched the Nickelodeon documentary about the orange years, and they were in it, and that theme hit, and I shuddered. Nice. I'm gonna be 30, and I shuddered.
And I shuddered at Afraid of the Dark theme playing in my ears.
I just went. Bah! I didn't like it. It made me upset. Anyway, so the Midnight Society was a show in which they went around a fire and they threw coffee creamer to make it spark and then told spooky stories. And much like that, it took place at a campground where we've already established that Courage and Muriel are telling scary stories in a tent. And up
Walt
to this
Eustace
point...
watches a shitty movie outside.
Yeah, he's watching TV.
Up to this point, like, we've also had like whispers in our ears to a point that I forgot they were in the episode. I knew that they were there. Like,
I thought Tim was playing a prank on us.
I thought somebody was fucking with us. I thought I had a video playing in the background.
and then suddenly it's an ad for an app or something.
Yeah.
Hero.
And,
yeah, Casper.
That leads us to the realization that they're being watched by
some nefarious forces.
Yeah, we don't see him at first, yeah.
Yeah, we hear him, and then we see them, I believe, once they exit the tent. Isn't that correct?
Once they hear Eustace scream and they go out to investigate.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah, that's what it is. Cause...
That's where Dean Long actually comes into play, because Eustace is like, millionaires, money just falls in their lap, and then literally a dollar falls in his lap. Mm. And then suddenly, gone.
And then Eustace is in
trouble. Yeah. And then they come out to find, can't find him, and they see two pairs of eyes in the trees, and out walks some adorable little raccoons.
Minion light, let's be
and,
real.
Yeah,
oh,
minion light raccoons.
Yeah.
And Muriel tries to be friendly, and then they attack the good old forces of Courage and Muriel with, and I'm quoting, a pair of brass knuckles with spikes, mm-hmm. a crossbow,
yep.
a chain,
yep.
and what we well what was
that
talked
to
about
be
to be
sandal.
A sa- it's not a sandal.
What
it's
is
what's,
it?
It is what's called a sap, and it is a leather. It's an instrument that was initially it was used for a lot. Police forces used it for a while.
Oh God!
Back in the day, but it's a piece of leather. That is wrapped essentially around something hard, like a piece of lead.
Oh.
And you use it to walk up behind somebody and hit them across the back of the head, and it'll knock them out.
Huh. Self-defense.
Jesus
though.
It's Christ.
The ultimate conceal carry.
It's a sap. That's what they're called. And they're...
It does look like a sandal. I see.
Well, no, it's it's flashbacks to my childhood. But
the ultimate blackjack.
Yeah, it's a blackjack is another thing is what they're called. I have one somewhere.
A blackjack can also be a small wooden bat, though, too.
True. I don't know where mine is.
Because I used to have a blackjack because...
this sap's also a wallet.
Yeah.
And this sap over here is going to get hit with my sap.
And this sap will be hit with a sap. You see? Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Carlos looking at Ford saps.
Yeah.
I can't believe they'd use a sap as a weapon for a cartoon character.
Right? But, yeah. I was like, that's a sap. And I had to like double, like I, my brain had to remember that term.
That is someone who either wrote or animated that with like a stunning memory of their childhood, knowing that that was something in it. Or maybe not childhood.
You know, I don't know. It was, it was used in history unique. For a long time. Yeah, it could have been unique.
True. What's a weapon that not many people use?
A fucking sap, because they're just a, it's just a beating stick, you know, that's all it is.
That's Coed. Coed just yelling out, what about a sap? And Dorf's like, stop making fun of it. And they're just yelling at each other.
It's, so you can, the one that I have is really old, and it has a leather strap with a rivet on it, and then it has a leather handle, and it's wrapped around this big bulbous thing, and it's just flexible enough.
Are you holding it at the top? Right now?
No, because I don't know where it is.
Oh, okay. I thought for a second. Yeah, I thought for a second that you turned and you grabbed it. Like, why do you have that within a reach?
I don't know where it is. I have it somewhere.
It's on its way.
But it's, you know, that's what that absolutely is. It is that. And then the okay. biggest chain known to man. I don't know if I said that.
Yes.
They attack Muriel and Courage, and we hear just horrific noises as it happens. Mm-hmm. And so we...
not only horrific noises, it's noises of, like, jet planes and, like, missiles and, like...
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's a total war zone there for, like, 10 seconds.
It's super weird. And then we cut to Courage being chained to a tree and arrows and a carcass of a missile and craters are all over the place. Yeah. And Muriel is tied up to Eustace's chair. The TV's in the back of the truck with her. And then the raccoons steal the truck.
Kudos to them.
As raccoons are known to do.
Well, and we find out later that they're like 2'10", maybe.
So they can't even reach the pedal.
And they just sit side by side driving down the road. Like, they're just fine. I don't understand how they do it.
Maybe it's a accessibility track. So you don't actually push the pedal. There's a little ignition switch on the right that you can control. You guys ever seen those?
No, I know what you're... I know what you're talking about.
I work with old people, so I've seen them before.
I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, then that takes off, and Courage is tied to this tree. He's very upset. He musters all of his strength, and I thought he's just going to slip out of the chains, but nay. He just takes a redwood with him.
Nay, he takes the tree, too. Yeah. He's running after him.
And then he's trying to head that way. Yeah, the music plays, but then he hears Eustace screaming, and like a dummy goes to help him. I guess that's like the loyalty of dogs, eh?
They help even the biggest of idiots.
I guess, you know.
Well, and, yeah, you have to think about it, too. Muriel would still be sad if Eustace wasn't there.
You know what? At the end of this, I don't think so.
Well, yeah. Touché! I'm not fighting that argument.
And then you have them, like, head out, and he goes to find Eustace, who's stuck precariously on a rock in a gorge.
And just sort of tilting back and forth, and you go,
wow. Yeah.
It's more astonishing that he got there at this point, right? Like, did they throw him over the cliff and he just landed there?
And you're like, did this to all me.
Right. Or did they put him there just so he would be, well, he would be the bait?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't know Eustace would be so helpful in trying to kill Courage, but whatever.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and that's the thing, is Courage falls forward and the tree makes a bridge. And then Eustace... I still don't know about this.
He's just berating Courage the whole time and climbing on top of the tree.
Yeah.
But Courage, of course, is attached to the tree with this chain. So he undoes the chain to kill Courage.
Yeah.
No, like I said, he's 10 steps ahead. He knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, like I said when we were watching, he's like, no, no, maybe. This is Eustace's whole plan. He came out here to go home alone, right? Like, this is a murder situation. No. He's just waiting for them to go to sleep.
He needs courage still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird, right?
I mean, it's just it was an opportunity, right?
Yeah. It was an opportunity to maybe get rid of courage. If he survives, whatever.
He's like, he's a shapeshifter. If he could survive this, fucking...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. And then they go to find...
the car. Which,
yeah.
Which fucking courage tries so hard to sniff it out, and Eustace just goes, hey, dummy.
It's car tire tracks. Yeah.
Tire tracks. Like, come on. You don't have to sniff it. We're literally following it. Which takes us to the cave where... these
where guess, Red Letter Media is filmed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. These like I is it like teenage, are they supposed to be teenage raccoons?
No, they're just children. Kids who want a mom to watch movies with them.
But they have like I'm now looking back at the scene. They have no, these are definitely teenagers. They've got a lamp, like they've got that like fiber optic lamp that everybody had in the 2000s that had like you know, all the little things that come off of it. They've got ninja stars stuck to the side of the cavern.
What, you didn't have ninja stars as a kid?
Several road signs they've stolen.
It sounds like the kids next door place before they found it.
They have a very sick guitar poster with a guitar going through the eye of a skull. And then they have what appears to be intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Yes, the teenagers, right?
Mm-hmm. Teenagers. Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect.
And a
mace. That's a mace. That's just a mace. They just got a morning star over here.
I mean, it just sounds
man, if
like
they can have, if they can have a sap, they can have a morning star.
It just this sounds like the first Kids Next Door headquarters to me, man. I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit, you know. Yeah. And Muriel says that, hey, well, and I guess on this walk, that's when Eustace finds the poster that they are wanted criminals, these raccoons.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, that's another plot point. I forgot about that,
and that's how we know they're only 2 foot 10 inches.
Yes, because their height is listed next to, you know, a perp kind of scale there.
And then it doesn't have a money amount on it. It just has dollar signs in the bottom of the poster. This is stupid. Yes. It could have been $2.
Listen, we will get a reward if we do this. Reward.
But what
non-discriminatory.
What are they doing in the cave, Taylor?
Well,
watching TV with Muriel because all they want is a mom, and they're watching a terrible like version of Godzilla with the Dilworth as a Godzilla monster.
Love
them. Yep. Perfect.
There you go.
We
perfection.
Did it.
I said Dill Kong, but nobody liked mine, so I'm out of it.
Hey, man. King Dill. King, King Dong, Dill. If you will.
King Dong. Dillzilla.
That was mine, and nobody likes that.
Dillzilla. You've got,
I thought you said Dozima, and I was like...
Dojima. I mean, he would be a dragon. Yeah. And they're doing that, and that's when we find out that that's why they're just, they wanted a mom, and Eustace, and encouraging them chill, but they don't like Courage, and Courage doesn't like them.
He's taking the mom.
And Eustace is going to take him for the free horde, and he does with a net, a tiny net.
Tiny net. Their one weakness is a tiny, tiny net.
Listen, I bet you could probably capture me with a tiny net. Like it wouldn't be too hard.
I mean, you wouldn't be like the guy from Kung Pao where they just throw it on these struggles.
I guess it depends on how tiny the net, but enough for me to not move my arms. Basically a tiny hula hoop. I bet I'd be like, eh.
Right, it's gotta be tight around you.
I mean,
all you gotta do is throw an inner tube around Sheldon and he's fucked.
Yep. I agree with this statement.
But you'd be safe in the lake. You might be fucked on land, but safe in the
lake. Safe in a lake.
Safe
unless
in a lake.
Unless you slightly turn and then
you're on your side.
and then you're on your side and upside down, and you can't get your arms out of the tube.
But you can just keep rolling. Keep rolling, Sheldon. You got it.
How'd this one die?
I believe in you.
He flipped his inner tube over. He didn't know how to fix it back.
Oh, gosh.
Poor bastard. Never saw it coming.
Anyways,
drowning,
get
it, that is.
Let's get him out of the lake. He's sticking up the place.
Just a morbid fucking buoy now.
What a fucked up summer.
Keep the children safe.
Yeah. Mickey went on to become a chiropractor in North Carolina. And nobody saw Jimmy after that summer. Some think he's still at the lake, searching for the remnants of that body. Body. And I became a writer and made millions of dollars. Anyway.
And I'm Stephen King. Goodbye.
Stand By Me is weird. And so you now have that where Eustace has the raccoons in his little his net, and Courage is like, I'm on it, and he makes a we hear Courage yell at Eustace.
You let those little raccoons go,
which makes me think that every time Courage talks, they must be able to hear him.
And I mean, he just pretend. It turns out Courage is just the kid in dog outfit.
Oh.
Well, that's one of the theories, right?
Sad.
Yeah, the sad theory.
The sad theory.
This is sad theory.
This is just the sad theory. You know, small, angry dog.
But that's just a theory. A sad theory. See you guys next time.
A game theory.
Is that a deep cut yet, or is that enough that people know what it is?
Who knows, man?
He gave Undertale to the Pope.
What?
Yeah.
The dude from Game Theory went to a gaming coalition that the Vatican held. And gave Undertale to, was it Undertale or Minecraft, to the Pope? I can't remember which one it was.
I don't know. This is urine territory that I can't walk.
Either way, the Vatican then also opened up its own Minecraft server that lasted about 2 days before it was completely griefed and just destroyed.
I don't know any of this nonsense.
It's great. The Vatican's try to get into the gaming world is beautiful. It's just, it's like a horrible, horrible train wreck that you can't just look away from. It's amazing.
Interesting.
More you know. Do you want me to look it up to make sure I'm right?
No.
No, I think I like it better this way.
I like it as a mysterious force.
Yeah. And out from the woods comes a an effigy of large raccoon.
Wicker raccoon.
And with that, the Eustace panics, freaks out, runs away, and the little raccoons are safe. And as they think it's a big mother raccoon, the thing falls, and you have Courage with a bullhorn standing behind it.
Well, what I love is that they cheer for the, you know, mommy raccoon. And then the raccoon falls. And then they cheer even harder, like, yeah, it's Courage!
Fuck yeah, Courage!
Oh, shit, that guy's on our side now.
I guess he likes us now, and we like him, because logic.
Because fuck it,
it's not our dead mom after all.
Yeah. And with that, we then move into Eustace is like, I'm gonna go catch the big raccoon.
Because if those little ones are worth a reward, obviously.
Clearly the big one will be worth even more. And he gets, he's going to go do it. And then even with a bigger net. And then the little raccoons are like, nope.
No.
And they
We're
again.
Take you for our own.
Yeah, they take him. And then we cut to Muriel and Courage hanging out back at the farm. Doing, you know, watching
muffins.
TV.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Sweet tarts.
Having a good time.
Sweet tart muffins.
Yeah. And then we cut back to the cave, and there's a tentative, this, there's just anger between two parties. As one feeds them snacks and the others watch TV, and they both growl at each other.
That's probably the best part of the episode where Eustace growls and they growl back at him. He's like, shit.
What am I teaching these kids?
How do I reach these kids?
That was a fucking trip.
And that's just the first A side.
Listen, we had to come up with a lot of B plot to get through that.
It's one of those things where it's not a plot heavy episode.
No, not really.
No. We could have probably did that in like three sentence, maybe.
It's not a plot heavy episode. I like it a lot. I think I'm gonna give it.
Hold on. What about
Trivia?
It's time
for Tim's Trivia Corner.
Whole the fandom website's been updated, but the trivia hasn't. So
I'm gonna go grab a beer. Hey Taylor, you have fun.
The piece Morning Mood
by Edwin Gregg played in the title card throughout the episode. In addition, the piece was also used in Dome of Doom when the evil plants accidentally ate each other. Cool. As the camera pans around the campsite, you can spot a bra and boxer undergarments in the nearby tree.
You could.
That's it. That's the on his infomercial.
I like trivia facts that are like, if you have eyes, you'll see it.
Wow.
Oh man.
What a
fact. Saw it.
On his infomercial, D. Long states that he came to the United States 3 weeks ago. Now hang with me, guys. This statement is rather odd due to him appearing in the season one episode of Hothead, which produced 3 years before this episode.
Listen, he became legal 3 weeks ago.
Also, like, it's TV. He could lie. And also, we don't know if these are all happening years later. It's not like this is happening in real time. A sign that reads Dill Avenue can be seen in the Raccoon's Cave. That is a fact.
Dill Avenue. I pointed it out. I could be writing these trivia facts.
It just surprises me that you didn't. When Muriel and the When Miriam and the Raccoons are watching television, John Dilworth appears with his head plastered on a dinosaur body. Also, the Twin Towers can be shown in the movie that Muriel and the Raccoons are watching as this episode aired a year after 9/11. That doesn't make sense because then the towers wouldn't be there.
Wait a minute.
I think that might be...
That's a bad one. That's a really bad trivia fact.
I don't know if that's... 100% correct.
I think that was just a random city. I don't think it was New York.
Oh no, it's supposed to be New York because it's the Empire State Building, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Which,
still though,
again, would have been probably better to be like, that's the top of the Empire State Building. I don't think that those are actually the Twin Towers.
I don't think this is Twin Towers.
They're just two towers.
Well, it wouldn't have aired. It wouldn't have aired, period.
They probably wouldn't have let it go to print if it did.
And the only saving grace this person might have is this episode came out on February 8th, 2002. But still, I think
I guess it could have been in production while...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prior to that,
it could have been, but they would have gone back and changed it. If you were alive at that time and saw the change in everything that was happening, you would know that anything related to 9/11 or the Twin Towers or anything that wasn't like just random New York. Yeah, it just wasn't appearing on TV. It just wasn't. Because they would have, one, a lot of people freaking out about it, and two, they would have themselves freaking out about it. because it just brings a lot of bad memories up.
I'm trying to scrub it right now on my system I'm trying to go frame by frame to be like, is that? I don't think it is.
I think it's just a city, like, yeah, it could be New York. They could have the Empire State Building.
It is the Empire State Building, that much I can say.
But like, but you can cut out the Empire State Building and put it with random city skyline and have it be fine. Like, this is still something we do now, even when we're editing old footage that's not about 9/11. You take out the Twin Towers in any footage still. it's still common practice to do that because of 9/11.
So. Yeah. Let's see. I need to... I'm trying to double check this here, sorry.
No, you're good. I like it
real
how...
time on the podcast.
There's so
it was yeah. doing real time fucking the research.
Picture, the that's picture the Empire that's... State Building. Yeah, no, that's not the Twin Towers. That's just a building.
Yeah, those are just a couple of buildings.
Yeah, animation those are not the twin...
like sophisticated. They
disappointing.
Just...
It isn't as dark as I wanted it to be.
Yeah, no, not, but there's no way. There's no way in hell because it wouldn't have aired. The people at both Warner, Cartoon Network, like so many other people would have watched this episode and would have been like, no.
It would have fucking got shut down super fast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it, again, it's clearly the New York skyline, but yeah, it doesn't have that in it.
Yeah. But that's it for trivia. I had to put it
so,
in
So, Taylor, what was your rating?
What was your rating?
Four tiny nets.
Four tiny
nets. Four tiny nets. It's good. It's a four tiny net episode.
Mm, that's a good one. I have... Yep. I'll go back all the way to the beginning of the episode where it's four possible glasses of scotch out of five.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird how there was just a glass of maybe bourbon scotch right there next to the lemonade.
That's
is
why
it useless?
I didn't want to
Is it Muriel's?
It didn't
and
matter.
And he didn't bring it up.
Yeah. No, you're right. I fucked up.
You fucked up.
I'll go with four saps out of five.
Yeah.
Because we fucking spent all that time learning it. I'm going to fucking use it.
Yeah, that's good.
It was a good episode.
Yeah, I liked it. Like I said,
summarizing it.
It's not super plot heavy, but it's very fun. And I immediately knew once
we got into describing it, we were like, hmm.
Yeah.
I knew as soon as I saw the two different colored eyes, like two different pairs of eyes in the hedge, that what this episode was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because like this is one of the few episodes that has those two raccoon boys in it. So I think they come back again, but I'm not
There's
sure.
There's a second episode?
I think so. Nope.
Right. Nope, I was wrong.
Nope. Oh, by the way, their names are Hugo and Herman.
Oh, well.
What?
There you go.
Their designs are based on Avery from another Stretch Films cartoon called Ace and Avery.
Oh, there you go.
Alrighty then.
I'll buy that. I'm not going to go look it up. I'll buy it.
I'll accept this as fact.
Yeah, and so that is our...
first episode.
That's our first. It's our A. And it's now we go on to our...
Now we flip the record.
Now I go to...
We side B.
What I would argue is a fairly plot-heavy episode.
Yeah, the way better.
Yeah.
Better? I don't know about that.
Which we then go to record deal. And essentially... we open on Shirley, the mystic magician,
the medium.
That's what her name is.
You got it.
Shirley the medium.
And I was getting there. And she's like cleaning out her stuff, her old stuff. And while she's doing this, Eustace is driving down the road, listening to some tunes.
Some swing?
His favorite musician, Velvet Vic, on the radio.
He doesn't strike me as a swing guy.
I also don't like the name Velvet Vic. I don't know why. It just hits
my
ears wrong.
Star.
Yeah, that's Maybe. A poor name. That's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Velvet Vic.
And
hey, Daddy-o.
His radio is starting to like cut out, and as that's happening, Shirley throws a Velvet Vic record that we see very clearly labeled as Velvet Vic out the window because it's big junk, as she says.
See here, it's Velvet Vic.
Big junk.
Big junk.
Interesting
and,
condition, though.
Yes, but big junk.
Big junk.
And also, didn't keep that record in prison. Like, I don't know how it stayed so clean.
Magic.
Yeah. And she Despite throws it.
The fact
it
that
didn't
we
have
saw
a
her throw
on
a
it?
Bunch of things.
Yeah.
Is that the part?
It
of
had
this
a sleeve.
What do you mean?
It has velvet beak.
It's in a sleeve.
It's in a sleeve, but isn't there an inner sleeve that most albums come in to preserve them?
I mean, yeah. The bigger problem is like if you don't store albums
in
like,
a dry
standing
place.
Up.
Yeah.
Well, it's in a dry place and like standing up in a crate. If you lay them down and you compress them, eventually the vinyl goes
will just
bad.
Well, it'll oozes. Warp too. Yeah, it's yeah. not good. Yeah,
so then you get the wobbly sounds,
mm-hmm.
and then you see Mario late in the episode.
Yeah, and you have this record hit Eustace in the face, causing him to crash his car. The truck crashes, but he's so fucking excited that he's got this Velvet Vic record.
It's my lucky day.
He doesn't care. It's yeah, like what the fuck, man?
Hey, man, it's not every day you find a new record. He'll buy his truck. It's ancient. It's older than dirt.
He's gonna flip it back over. It's gonna be fine.
Mm-hmm. Back when cards were meant to be sturdy, not save lives.
Is he playing Grand Theft Auto 5 where he just like gets in the car and steers hard to the left and it flips back over?
Yeah, we'll get it.
Probably.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's that goes on, and
as does this tangent.
And with this, you now have Eustace super stoked, and he just comes back to the farmhouse and he's like, I got a new record.
Muriel, come listen to this.
I got Velvet Vic, baby. And
it was
Courage,
our first love song.
And Courage is like, he hates it. And I don't know why Courage hates it.
There
really
could be
upset.
So many reasons.
I'm telling you right now, Courage is a dubstep fan, dude. I'm telling you. He likes trap and dubstep. That's all Courage listens to. Everything else is trash.
I want that to be written in the fandom.
That's Tim, a trivia fact.
Tim, go.
I mean, yeah. We have an account. I can write it in. I'm not going to.
Courage is shown to be a fan of dubstep and other and other hardcore music, as seen by his disdain for Velvet Vic.
He hates traditional music. That's why he prefers Skrillex. Fuck it.
Oh, God.
I don't even know anymore.
Exactly. And,
listen to dubstep.
And so, Curtis is like, nah, this is shitty.
It's just shit music.
And he's Eustace is very mad about it. And as it goes on, Courage notices an apparition begin to appear out of the phonograph that they used to play records.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
And he knocks the record loose and he's like, no, don't listen to it. And Eustace gets very upset at
man.
Again, I'm going to be honest in this one. I totally understand why Eustace would be upset with Courage knocking his record.
Just listening to music, well, and then suddenly it's like, oh.
Yeah.
You scratch it too, it's fucked. That record's not playable anymore.
You motherfucker.
You know how much this cost me? The whole car!
Oh, God.
The whole car!
It's on the side of the road somewhere.
This is the only good thing about my day. And you're making it really tested.
I was right driving now to get out of the house, and God damn it, this record hit me in the face.
I'm
literally
looking at my mallet real hard, boy. Gonna put you down like the dog you are.
Wow, that is a heavier meaning of this episode.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
But this goes on, and he kicks Courage out of the house, and then he plays it again, and we watch as the spirit forms into Velvet Vic playing the piano.
Hey, daddy.
Yeah, he materializes.
Yeah, and I fucking hate Velvet Vic.
You like swing?
You hate?
I just hate
the
him.
Speech? You hate the daddy?
Yeah, it's the speech. I think for the most part, that I'm just like, oh, shut up.
Completely bums him out so much that he sounds so bummed.
That's just so dumb.
Just
it's
shut
just,
the fuck up.
Smooth moves, man. Real smooth.
Yeah.
Oh, mama, can you like dance?
Do you make money?
You swing.
You swing.
There you go. Yeah, and so he then gets sucked back in when the record stops. So Eustace plays it again. He comes out. Eustace hears Velvet Vic, and he watches as Velvet Vic is playing the piano, unquestioning. And he's like, Muriel, Velvet Vic is here.
That just sounds like a man with dementia, really.
And it Muriel comes out giving sandwiches to Eustace that she was making. They were head cheese and onion, in case you missed that.
I did not hear that, and I wish yeah. I had continued to miss that.
You know what head cheese is?
I don't...
No.
Head cheese is all the... Like, when it comes to, like, pork... It could be anything, I guess, but, it, like, when it comes to pork, it's, like, taking the bits off of...
Just sounds like acne.
Parts of the head and other things, and mixing them with fat, and essentially making a luncheon meat out of it.
Ugh. Oh, cool! So it's disgusting.
It's like bologna, but it knows what it is.
Dude, bologna knows what it is.
No, bologna doesn't know. It has a first name.
Let's say, what's in bologna?
Bologna's just fucking just shit. Meat.
Yeah, it's kind of like a it's like leftover.
It's like a giant hot dog.
That's right. I just like the Simpsons thing where they describe bologna and it's like pigeons and like a shit ton of other
bam
animals.
Stuff posing as meat.
Mechanically separated chickens.
Oh god.
That's where I come from, that's roadkill. thank you, Bill Ingvall.
Once again, you're hunting with your car.
And so he comes out and Muriel sees Vic and he goes, hey, and Vic says a couple things. He says,
hey baby, you swing.
Yeah.
That whole section was just an innuendo, right?
It kind of felt like it. Like he asks Eustace if he
not anymore.
Dancing. Do you swing? And he's like, no, not anymore. I have a you swing, and she goes, oh, I used to in my youth as a girl, and I was like, I don't like where that's going. And she goes, I did play a bit, and so she plays the piano, and as the music stops and she's the one playing, this curse clearly sucks her in.
That's how curses work, right?
Yeah. And then he breaks the record and traps her inside, and he's like, I'm gonna hit the road. And Eustace, he flings Eustace into the basement too.
Oh
that's
yeah,
that's how he's able to break the record because he makes Eustace dance and flings him into the basement.
Make sure Eustace doesn't see, though. Yeah. I'm pretty sure if Eustace was right there in the room, saw everything go down, he still would be like, "You need a roadie, right?
Yeah, fuck it, you're gonna make some money. Let's go."
He's a road manager, and he's gonna go on tour, and that's why.
I think the most. Horrifying thing about all of this is that Courage is sitting outside the window and just keeps transforming to different things.
Yeah.
Those things Courage turns into, like, is just awful. Exploding eyeballs that turn into weird balloons.
Yeah, he unscrews his head and a screw comes out. He cuts himself in fucking half.
Yeah.
And falls, like, it's just like, oh my god!
Fuck this shit, man.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I had to interject that part.
Anyway.
No, it totally makes sense.
It's awful.
It's weird, it's man. Awful. It's weird. And, Courage's transformations in this episode in particular seem really kind of, I don't know, out
over
there,
the top?
Yeah, more visceral? Right. It seems like they're trying to make up for the fact that maybe it's not nearly as, like, spooky or weird of an episode.
Oh, a weird ghost is coming out the weird fucking thing. Let's have Courage rip himself in half because
I hated that one.
That's my favorite one, though. Just because of how fucked up it is. Come on.
Yeah. And so sorry, go ahead.
No, like, honestly, I was just gonna, like, the one that got me was the eyeballs exploding.
Yeah, that's not a bad one at all.
I was like, this sucks. Yeah. I don't like it.
It's one of those things that you just go, like, nope.
It just reminds me that, like, and I'm on all these Facebook groups that have the Courage, people talk about Courage all the time and stuff.
Ooh, I didn't know how that was gonna go.
They all have Courage.
Where I'm dating single moms.
I'm on all these Facebook groups that people's eyes are exploding in.
Oh god.
Yes! That sounds like a great Facebook.
I don't like this group, Tim. I forbid you from going back.
This group got banned immediately. I don't understand why. but no, I'm on all these Facebook groups where they're just like, Courage is a super scary show. I was like, but as we're going through all these episodes, they're not terrifying. If we were younger, they might be a little spooky.
I think it's just you have some precedent episodes that establish it as being weird and creepy. And
just
then,
odd. And odd is creepy.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah,
yeah. I think that's what you're getting too, is a lot of odd. And then
there's a lot of focus on just the primary episodes too, like the curse episode and shit like that. Episodes of the mummies and things like that, where people are focusing on these scary elements that aren't necessarily in every episode. You barely see the duck brothers. You barely see the raccoon brothers and duck stuff like that.
Brothers. Yeah. So. And King Ramses is a one-off.
Yeah, and that's the fucking most popular. Fred. Yeah,
Fred is also Fred.
It had that that animated thing that they did.
Yeah, Fred. Yeah. But that's I think you've got very specific episodes that people really remember. And I think those are.
And there's Swing Daddy-O.
And there's Vic. And
then there's Vic.
Yeah. Courage tries to tape a record back together, and when he plays it,
we get an abomination.
Muriel Homunculus comes out.
God.
And it's gross, and I don't like it.
And now that you've mentioned the gross homunculus. Yeah. Then we get to the fucking part where he brings Muriel back.
Oh yeah, the doctor.
Going to the doctor who owns it.
She goes.
I don't like the insinuation that the Muriel that's here isn't the Muriel that we've come all this way with.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is just a fucking clone of Muriel that we've done our best job at recreating.
That's a really good point. It's just.
Yep.
This isn't actually Muriel, but also it's Muriel two heads, two times the better. Come on.
I just like I also like the idea of, like, down the road, Muriel does something out of character, and we just go, that's clone Muriel.
Yep.
That's just Muriel right there.
She hasn't been the same since the incident.
Since the record incident.
Since Vic came along.
Since the Vic incident.
Since she got
Vic'd. Got Vic'd.
I really don't like that for some reason.
Yeah. And so that goes on. They go to see Vindaloo. And so then he leaves. Vic Velvet is playing a concert. Eustace is selling tickets. Shirley's selling junk. She's like, that can't be the Vic Velvet.
I trapped him in a record.
I guess. That's the story I want to know.
Wait a minute. I got rid of this guy 20 years ago. What the 20?
I really
50 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a dog, so probably 5 years ago.
And he goes to see Eustace, and he kicks him out. And then Shirley is like, "Oh, Shirley, the good old fortune teller,
Shirley can figure this out."
Oh no, you can't! I can't fix this with magic. Use digital.
Yeah, she tells Courage to go burn to digital. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. So now we have Courage going to the computer. Scanning a record, not gonna work, but it does here. And Sheldon's point of, I mean, if real Muriel is trapped on the record, this would just have to be a different Muriel, right?
Yeah, that's a good point too. This is another clone.
This is some real fucking Soma vibes, and I don't like it.
Yeah. And
what do you mean the real Muriel's on the record? We're here. We gotta be safe.
Yeah. And so now Courage has a CD, and for those of you playing along at home, that means compact disc. And that those of you playing along at home means that we are now into two obsolete mediums.
Yeah. Oh my god.
At this point, I mean, I still
I feel
CDs.
So old.
Yeah.
Records
are back.
Yeah.
So
records are back. Okay.
Where I live, there's a lot of used CD stores, so I go there and try to get something good.
It's not like you can't buy CDs anymore.
No, that's but true. At those CD stores, it's mostly just Chumbawamba anyways, so it doesn't matter.
It's just aisles and aisles of Tub Thumping.
It is. You're not wrong.
No, it's just Kids Bop 77.
I found a full bin of that fucking album one time. It was horrible. I wanted to buy them all, though, because they're only a dollar. It would have cost like $50.
Tim, owner of 557 copies of Chumbawamba.
Yeah, and you just go, just here, kid, here, you just drive into the street, just pass out the CDs.
Tossing them out the windows.
There's only one song that's any good.
And everyone, every single person you give that to is pissed off. Not a single person's happy to get that album.
I like to think that you're playing five different discs on five different
records. They're all Chumbawamba.
I get knocked down and back up again and get knocked down and then back up.
It's not even like
they're all
playing it. Time. It's looped.
Yeah. That just that part.
Tim, I need you to tell me right now, do you own a copy of Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba?
I don't, actually. I do not.
I do.
You motherfucker.
I don't. I do. Why would I buy it? There's so many of them. It's never going to go out of print there. Well,
I have one.
I mean,
do you want to find a couple?
Do you know how many good songs there are on it?
One. Tub Thumping.
It's Tub Thumping.
Yeah, I know. I've listened to it. I know.
Oh, fuck.
And so we have this going on. Courage breaks into the thing. He plays the CD now. And Muriel comes out. She plays on stage. Vic gets mad.
Everybody boos.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, well, who's this fat lady?
Who's this old lady? Get her out of here.
And Vic gets mad. And he's like, I want to play. And he does. And then Courage rips the CD out.
You think he would like instantly recognize, like, wait a minute.
This shit's a trap.
I really shouldn't play.
Apparently not.
He's a dumbass.
And they end up, you know,
get trapped the first time. So I mean,
and that's kind of the resolution is this, and then
Eustace is the thing.
And at the end of it, you know, they're back at the farm, everything's fine, and then Eustace is trying to find another celestial monster to come out of a record. But I guess before that, Shirley takes the CD. Eustace tries to run away with all the earnings. Shirley takes that for licensing fees, which is a lie. And then you get back at the farm, and Eustace is trying to get some kind of record to be
demon.
To come out. And he instead looks into one and goes, "Who are you?
Who are you?"
Sucked in, no longer does the do-si-do.
I don't do do-si-do.
Yeah. There you go. Now that's the story. Morning Glory.
Fucking
it's weird.
Christ.
It's a lot.
It has a lot of plot for an episode about a ghost coming out of a fucking
record, right?
Record.
It's a really good episode though. Before we go any farther, there is two things of trivia and one goof. This is literally called goofs. Every time we get to somewhere where it's like an error or something wrong, they name it something different. This one's called a goof.
There's a goof and a gaff.
So trivia number one: this is the third appearance of Shirley.
That's a goof. That's a trivia.
Trivia
right,
two.
I'm like, that doesn't sound much like a goof.
It is unknown how Velvet Vic gets stuck in his own record, assuming that he's dead and his ghost floats out whenever his record plays, or Shirley laid a curse upon him when he was still alive.
I wouldn't be surprised if
those are just statements, really.
Vic's the type of guy that deserves a curse. He'd be the one walking down their own just fucking hobos.
And the one goof that may actually... I don't know why they call it. It's an error. This is straight up an error. For some reason, the director and writer/storyboard credits are swapped in the opening credits.
Oh, that's not really a goof.
It's an error.
That's an error.
I don't know why it's a goof.
What a goof.
That's it. That's all the trivia and goofs that we got for this part. But there are two comments if you want to know what they are.
No.
They're Groovy O Daddy O in Dragsville.
Of course.
That's it.
Of course they are. That's what I would do if it was me.
Well, I mean, you wrote all of them, didn't you? It's all you.
I'm not confirming nor denying this this assumption.
Groovy O
Daddy O. I gotta give you. I gotta give you something to do, Tim.
I mean, you're right. You're right. This is a well-liked segment that all of no one has told me about. that they liked.
It's a well-liked segment that no one has told you about, and your co-hosts have actively malayed the entire time.
They've tried to go around it every time. I am stiff on having it in, and I don't know why, but...
God, I'm so happy that audio is clean.
Every person I talk to about our podcast just fucking shits on me. I don't know what to
do. Listen, man, listen. It's a part of the running gag.
No, it's good. It's fine because it's all two people. So I mean, like, it's not like my day is ruined.
It's us.
Oh fuck. Makes me feel better, I suppose.
Sure.
I'm sorry, Tim.
No, it's all good. I don't. You think this is the first podcast/radio show I've been on where people are just shitting on me?
No,
it's not the first. But this episode's pretty good. I will give it a 4.5. What did you call the fucking horn on top of the record player?
The whole thing is like a fucking Victrola. It's they don't have a modern record player. They essentially just have.
I was trying to remember.
I'm gonna give it 4.5 swinging daddies out of 5.
Swinging daddies.
I hate it.
I'm walking away.
I hate it. Go Sheldon, because I hate it.
Well, I mean, I'm probably gonna go maybe 3.5 ruined trucks out of 5.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Because you know that was a spur of the moment.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna give it 4 Frisbee records out of 5.
Oh, did it just get frisbeed in the end there?
Flung it out the window.
Yeah.
To somebody else's.
She flung it out the window and it like curves. Like it curves down and into
Eustace's face.
Yeah.
The curse.
And there you go. It's a good. It's fun. This is a good episode. This is a good season 3, episode 2. So far, season 3 has been good. We've watched 2 episodes, but it's been good, man.
Oh, yeah.
Dragsville. Fuck Vic.
I think I've remembered every episode so far.
He's such a... Well, there's been 2.
I mean, pretty good so far.
Yeah, fucking odds are in your favor.
You don't got dementia, Tim. Congratulations.
I hate Vic. See, I hate him. He's just such a...
He's a fucking bitch.
I don't like him. He feels weird. He feels like a weird man.
Well, I mean, he is.
He's
the
guy
like,
who swung.
Yeah, he's like from the 50s or 60s, right? So obviously, he probably did a lot of weird shit. Shit that would get him canceled.
He probably
nowadays.
Manipulated a lot of girls.
I was going to say,
yeah. Do not like.
That was the Liquid Courage podcast, everyone. See you later. I'm going to go.
That's pretty much that's it. We'll be back. We'll be back next month. Goodbye.
Bye.
Miss you.
That was the Liquid Courage podcast. An in-depth look at every episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog. Music was provided by Visionless. You can find them at www.soundcloud.com/visionl3ss. We do not own the rights to Courage the Cowardly Dog. Until next time, have a wonderful night.